ask you to take your Bibles again along with me and turn to the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4, and verses 1 through 6. This is God's holy, inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God, so let us give our attention to it. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. God's Word. Would you join me in asking the Lord's bless and helping? Father, we do pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to know the truth. We pray, Father, that you would help us by your Spirit to know our Savior as the one who forever, from all eternity, is the Son of God. And yet he condescended, he humbled himself to assume a human nature in order to be our Redeemer. We're thankful, Lord God, that he continues as both God and man at your right hand interceding for us. And so we pray that he would be glorified and that our faith would be turned to him again this morning. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe everything you hear? Do you believe everything that you hear? One well-known conservative radio talk show host whose program is syndicated throughout the country opens his phone lines every month when the moon is full to allow callers to bring forth their conspiracy theories. And it's often entertaining radio. It sometimes becomes redundant month after month with some of the conspiracies that are put forth. But all things, every conspiracy is given equal time, whether it's UFOs, the Kennedy assassination, how Stonehenge got there over in England, or crop formations that are supposedly the landing fields for Martians. All things get equal time when the moon is full. But the funny thing is about this radio host is he actually holds out the possibility that there's actually Bigfoot. And so I say to you this morning now, if you believe that Sasquatch exists and that in the forests and mountains of Bergen County there exists a Bigfoot, good for you. Good for you. But it still begs the question, do you believe everything that you hear? Now, we certainly live in an information age where there is so much news, it's often hard to discern what is true and what is false. But how much more so in this age of religious pluralism? We live in a country that, yes, had much of a Judeo-Christian background and foundation, but this is a country, as we're all aware from our neighbors on the left and right, of people groups from all kinds of religious backgrounds. And it is the case that the what comes across by way of the internet and radio and television, and we'll even mention magazines that are soon becoming obsolete, there's many challenges and competitions for what we are to believe. And so the question, again, needs to be asked, what do you believe? And do you believe everything that you hear? Well, the Apostle John, in our passage this morning, says this, comes across to us right away with this warning. Do not believe every spirit. The Apostle John is modeling for us and modeling for me in my calling what it means to be a faithful shepherd. A shepherd who not only knows and feeds and leads the people of God, but also protects his flock. And so it is, the Apostle John says, do not believe every spirit. And he's saying spirit, and he's following up on what he had said at the end of chapter 3, which we looked at last week, when he said this, the one who keeps his commandments, in verse 24, abides in him, and he in him, and we know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given to us. And so John is no sooner spoken about how we can know that Christ abides in us, that he warns us of other spirits that are in the world. We talked about this, didn't we, just in the beginning of our opening exercise about the what is God, is spirit, and other spirits. And so we'll be looking at what John means by that in our passage this morning. And so John writes, be careful what you believe and test everything by the Word of God. The Word of God that shows us or puts forth the central message of who Jesus Christ is. And John is protecting the Christians, and the Word of God is protecting us this morning against the wolves who seek to infiltrate the church with false teaching. And not false teaching on just secondary issues of when will Christ return in the millennial kingdom, but the central issue of the Bible, that the Scriptures teach us about Jesus Christ, all the Word of God centered on the Redeemer who was to come and who came and is going to come again. Now, this was the same warning the Apostle Paul had given to the elders there in Acts chapter 20 when he said this, the Apostle Paul, be on guard for yourselves and for the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Very significant. Which God purchased with his own blood. He says, I know that after my departure, Apostle Paul says, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on alert. Therefore, be on alert. The false teaching that John is concerned with concerns the person of Jesus Christ. And so John's message for us this morning is to be careful to believe only that teaching which is consistent with the testimony of Scripture that Jesus is the Son of God who became man in order to redeem us from our sins and to bring us, as we saw in the opening chapter, into fellowship with the Father and Son. And he continues by his presence and protection to watch over us. And so let's look at what John is saying here as we follow him in his three parts. First of all, do not believe everything you hear. Do not believe everything you hear. And then secondly, John gives us this ultimate test, who is Jesus? And then finally, the shepherd who protects you. The shepherd who protects you. And so, first of all, in verse 1, do not believe everything you hear. As I said, John is a faithful shepherd, seeking to protect the sheep, and he's following the footsteps of the great shepherd, who had trained him, if you will, in 3 years of seminary, when Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And John sees that wolves are coming. That's why he's writing to these Christians. He wants their joy to be complete, as we saw in verse 5 of chapter 1. But he knows that there's threats. We've already seen this earlier when he spoke of Antichrist being in the world, who would deceive the church. And so John says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit," in verse 1, "to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so John is, he's echoing, isn't he, what the Apostle Paul warned the elders. They have gone out from the world, some from our own midst, John is saying, as false prophets. And we can understand this ourselves as heirs and the beneficiaries of our forefathers in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and particularly the tragic events of the turning of the institution of Princeton Seminary from this bastion, this castle, if you will, of Reformed faith to a den, a wolf's den of liberal Christianity. Back in the 1920s. For over 100 years, Princeton stood for the Christian faith, defenders of the faith. Many other seminaries had fallen. And then finally in the 1920s, despite the efforts of men like B.B. Warfield and J. Gresham Machen, one of the founders of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, Princeton Seminary preaches now another gospel. They preach other than that truth that puts forth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came into this world to be our Redeemer. And so we need to be on guard in 2013. I've mentioned before of one of our senior ministers in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, John Galbraith, who's a member of Calvary OPC in Glenside, when he said at a Presbyterian meeting, when he gave his pastoral report, he said, "We still have this as our calling, men, to proclaim and to defend, to proclaim and to defend. There's never a day that we're not on guard, and yet we're not alone, as we'll see as John continues his warning throughout this. The warning that needs to be heeded today. Don't believe everything you hear, but check out what is being said and taught to see whether it lines up with Scripture." That's what John is getting to. You know, Dr. Luke, in his second volume in the book of Acts, in chapter 17, wrote with approval of the care the Bereans took to test the teachings of the Apostle Paul to see if they were true. Listen to what Luke records. "Now these," the Bereans, "were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And so there's a real model for us, that we receive God's Word, but we also receive teaching, whether by TV or radio or literature that might be given to you at your front door on a Saturday morning by some of the cults. All things need to be tested by Scripture. And we should be like the Bereans, examining to see whether these things are true. And we saw almost comically in 1 Kings chapter 22, did we not? The folly of King Ahab as he sought to rather walk in darkness rather than to submit his plans and his life into the care of God. And did you notice how Jehoshaphat had recognized that these 400 prophets that had assembled themselves around King Ahab to give him what he wanted to hear, so to speak, Jehoshaphat wasn't going for it and asked, "Is there not yet one prophet who speaks for the Lord?" And what a warning in the Old Testament, but what a warning for us this day. Is there not one who speaks for the Lord? And for in order for John's hearers to know and for you to understand if teachers truly speak of the Lord, John, in our second point, gives his children the ultimate criteria for knowing the truth. And we see this in verses 2 and 3. The ultimate test, who is Jesus? Now, Who is Jesus? I mentioned already the types of challenges that we have to our faith. But we can't forget that we will soon be entering, are we not, into that extended period of time of Advent season leading up to Christmas on December 24th, whereby Christians all over the world will be worshiping and in a sense, giving thanks for the birth of our Savior. But we can be sure from past experience, can we not, that the spirit of the Antichrist also will be at work. As Time Magazine and the History Channel and other venues on the internet and cable will be putting forth on the airwaves this historical Jesus of the mainline liberal churches. And the core doctrine that they rehearse every time during the Advent season, and then again around late March and April with Easter, is this denial. They deny the teaching that Christ was born of a virgin, and that the Son of God assumed a human nature in order to be our perfect high priest and king. They go right to the heart of Christianity, and they begin with their propaganda that Jesus really was not of God, that he was self-deluded, and that while he was a pretty good guy, in the end he was self-deluded and not to be trusted. But John cuts straight to the chase here, doesn't he? Any teaching that denies that our Savior is fully God and fully man is false and of the Antichrist. Notice what he says there, verses 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you heard it is coming, and it now is already in the world. John is saying that the test for orthodoxy, or right Christian thinking, right Christian teaching, is whether Jesus is being proclaimed to be the Son of God, who became man in order to be our Savior and Mediator. And this is what we will be learning, by the way, in the weeks to come in our Sunday school, in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, in our opening exercises. Here's a sample of what you'll learn in Sunday school that's relevant to what John's saying here. Question 21 asks this question: who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The answer: the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. And then question 22, how did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, and being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. So our catechism is a very helpful tool. But the catechism is nothing if it is not lined up and in accordance with Scripture. The overwhelming testimony of Scripture concerning the nature of Christ, and thankfully our catechisms are based on that, such as Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. The prophet writes, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call him Emmanuel." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is that Emmanuel, God with us, and has come in the flesh, as John says. Any teaching that does not teach that Jesus is God come in the flesh is not from God. But we also see that we are not alone in our fight for truth. Because Jesus is not only the God-man, but he has promised his presence and protection for us, as we see in our last point, safety in Christ. The shepherd who protects us. If you are to overcome the false teaching of the Antichrist in the world, in your family, and protect your family, men and women, as you give leadership and leading in domestic worship, you're going to be in need more than just a warning or a litmus test. You are going to be in need of the presence and protection of the one who is truth personified. And this is exactly what we possess by virtue of our union with Christ. This is what John says, notice there in verse 4. He says this, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." The presence and protection of Christ is what you have going forth to be able to discern right from wrong and to protect you from the false teaching. The Holy Spirit given to you to understand these things. But notice how John refers to us. He says, "You are from God, little children." And I hope you're getting used to being called little children by the apostle. But what John writes here is a central truth of our Christian experience. Jesus, our great shepherd, who is with us to protect us from all spiritual harm. In a few moments, we will take our hymnals and sing as our hymn of response, "Savior Like a Shepherd." A hymn that I would argue is not for children only, but all who would trust in Jesus Christ as their shepherd with childlike faith. And listen to one of the stanzas. The third stanza reads this, "We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear the children when they pray." Jesus laid claim to that truth that He is your guardian and defender. When He said in Matthew chapter 12, listen to the power of your shepherd and protector. Listen to what He said in Matthew's gospel. "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" And brothers and sisters, Christ has plundered Satan's house. This is what John wrote of, we see in chapter 3 when he wrote this, "The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." Jesus is that strong man who plundered Satan's house at the cross. He not only bore your sins and reconciled you to God, but He triumphed over the grave and He triumphed over Satan, the father of lies, on your behalf. And He has sent forth His Holy Spirit when He rose again from the dead to have His presence with you, that you might understand these things. That Jesus is the God-man, the only mediator between God and sinners. And that you would be able to understand these things and also to confess Jesus as Lord. It is by that Spirit that we are able to do that. He is our protector and defender. He is the guardian of your way. He is your defender. And so John writes, "They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them." If you sit here this morning not trusting in Jesus Christ as your great protector and defender, if you are without His presence and His protection, first of all, as the one who went to the cross and died for your sins, then you are called by this word this morning to trust in Him, to turn to Him as the only protector and defender of you in this world, the one who promises you eternal life, the one who bore the wrath of God on the cross, as we see John saying this in 1 John chapter 2, as He turned away the wrath of God, as He placed you in the cleft of the rock to give you that ultimate protection from the wrath of God due to you for your sin. But also, if you sit here this morning without His ongoing protection, as your high priest, as your king at His right hand, defending you, as the Catechism says, turn to Him in faith this morning. Do not live without His presence and protection. This is a scary world, is it not? We need only to look at the headlines each day to have a spirit of anxiety, right? But we are to be as those who have confidence that Christ is our King and Protector. And so if you sit here this morning trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, if you know that presence and protection of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as the Good Shepherd, who says to you, take courage, For I have overcome the world. The words of your Savior. I have overcome the world. And assures you of this truth. This truth, as John states it here in verses 5 and 6, this prophetic and apostolic testimony, both of the Old and New Testament, when John writes this, concerning himself and the apostles, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so, brothers and sisters, that is God's word to us this morning. To seek the presence and protection of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To rely upon the living word that comes to us and is known and understood by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. That counselor that Jesus promised in John 14, 15, and 16 in John's Gospel. He is your Lord and protector. In Him you can know what is the spirit of truth and what is the spirit of the enemy. It is to Him that we turn in faith this morning. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your Son. We're thankful that He did not leave us as orphans, but promised to send another counselor who would bring us into understanding of all this truth that you desire for us to know, that we would give glory to you as we seek that a true place of security in our Savior Jesus Christ. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit and your Word, and pray, Lord God, that you would protect the families of Grace OPC, but also give us a word of proclamation, that we would not only be defenders of the faith, but we would be your ambassadors of Christ, that we would be able to be proclaimers of the truth to those who knock on our doors on a Saturday morning or give us a pamphlet in the workday and on the trains or subways or buses. Lord, that we would reach out to our neighbors who have come from all nations of this world with all kinds of religions. Lord, religions that do not speak the truth that Jesus has come in the flesh from God. And so, Lord, we pray that you would instruct us in your word, that we'd be able to speak to them the truth that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man, that Him there's salvation, and that your love has been so demonstrated at that cross. And so we pray for your glory and protection upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen.